gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, look at the shiny new orange Congress. Oh, magical. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. There's new pictures of Max and Fred up from the holidays. Mommy's boys. Oh, you're so pretty. Okay, more importantly, it's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Good morning, Hal.
Oh, it is a fine morning. I'm so
it's
excited.
It's all just foreplay until you get here. Chris, what did I say in the midst of the Charlie Pierce interview yesterday? Well, how much longer before Hal gets here?
Yes. I know.
I'm done with the naysayers.
Well, yeah.
You must have had a week of them.
Oh, I totally did.
Well, thank you for filling in for us, by the way.
It was my pleasure.
I understand you're spectacular.
Well, yeah, rumor has it. Mm-hmm. but enough about things that happen outside the show.
Hey, ladies.
Boing. So, yeah, it was a great time. And actually, the vast majority of the people who called in were, because we were doing, that week, we were doing a victory lap about Don't Ask, Don't Tell a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Keeping
with the tradition of
I left all the good news for you.
I know.
Because I give. I told you that it's only when I go on vacation something big happens, so I sacrificed for the country.
I can't tell you how. That's why I want to take you on the Progressive Talk Radio cruise with me, because I think that whole
something
week.
Something big will happen.
Yeah. It like with those both out of the picture temporarily.
John Boehner will resign and go into rehab.
Absolutely.
The week
right.
that I. How about, by the way, so 9 p.m. Pacific, noon Eastern,
yeah.
He takes the gavel, so damn it, we won't be able to be live for the drinking game.
For the crying?
To see how, ladies and gentlemen, the weeper of the house. I got to find the paper. I understand there's a ridiculously orange picture of him on the cover of, is it the New York Times? I don't know which paper it is this morning.
Here's what I don't know. After his big crying fits, how does he get the brown spots out of his trousers from the streaks?
I don't know.
When his bronzer leaks off his face, you know what I mean?
The front of his trousers. I'm sorry.
No, that's, yeah.
Sure. Oh. I meant, he's
not
in control
you had to go
of
there.
He's not in control of any
anything.
Of his
yeah, right.
It's front and center in the New York Times website, nytimes.com. He is the,
He looks like he's under a french fry light, too.
Didn't he promise that he was going to tone that down?
He's like Rudolph's nose. Santa needs to go, please, John, tone that down.
Right. Well, he's underneath the golden dome of the Capitol,
right.
And he's as orange as the dome.
Dome itself.
Holy crap.
Oh, boy.
He goes, when he goes out in front of the...
When he gets oranger.
Get in front of the rest of Congress, and he's pulling the sleigh. Yeah.
All right. We got a big show coming up, by the way. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is kicking ass all over the TV about everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And a fine American, David and Rebecca, write us. With the same waiting for you, like I am, Hal. Just wait. Many of us just wait for you to get here. Charlie Pierce, whom I love, who is hilarious, I don't know what's happened, Chris. He is just a complete Obama naysayer.
I know.
Just, the guy cannot do anything right.
Well, here's
here's what happens. Yeah. Jim Ward, when he gets here, will give him a load of... because when Hal is here, he agrees with Hal. And when Charlie Pierce is on, he agrees with him. And he's just as big a naysayer.
Jim's just here to collect the paycheck. That's all that is.
No principles. But I don't want to do the right wing's work for them.
Right.
Jim just, like, every turn, he's like, oh, yeah, just caving into Republicans. Like, he keeps putting that meme out there that Obama just caves into Republicans.
Right. You can't shrug off every victory. And you can't also look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell and those kind of legitimate changes and just kind of go, well, that's peripheral. You can't look at gay rights. I honestly believe you cannot look at gay rights in the military as, but what about the tax cuts for the rich? Who cares about gay people now at this point? No, the law's already passed. Where are you? What have you done for me lately? This was a week ago.
Right. David and Rebecca, Hal Sparks fans, as I am. Subject line, never say die naysaying. Welcome back, Steph and the Mooks. Great to have you all back this week, in part because we've been waiting for the parade of naysayers who bashed the president on your show before the incredible lame duck session, come back on the show and admit they were wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrongity wrong, with wrong sauce all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it is not to be. Yesterday, Charlie Pierce seemed almost allergic to the idea of giving the president credit for getting Don't Ask, Don't Tell done exactly the way he said he would.
Right.
it shouldn't have been so hard. It's the best naysayers like Pierce can do. That's what he said. He's like,
he did?
Oh, shouldn't have been that hard. It's like, and that's what? The president's fault?
Yeah.
That he's up against asshats like John McCain and, okay. Okay. Then Charlie, guarantee, quote unquote, that the president is coming after Social Security next. This guarantee is based on what? The fact that the naysayers' last prediction about the president and Don't Ask, Don't Tell and Start was wrong, too?
Right.
If you can't genuinely give the president credit for implementing the strategy that passed a major piece of social legislation, then I have to wonder if your goal is really to, quote-unquote, help the president, as we are so often told, or just to sound clever, snarky, and cynical. Can't wait for the cavalry. Hump Davis with Hal tomorrow. Love, Dave. Sometimes I just wait for the cavalry.
It is stunning to me how just unflinchingly everybody goes after any piece of negative news, and it's the prequel to
and
the
liberals.
Possibility.
Liberals.
I know. There are so many articles on Huffington Post which have been wrong on so many points, and yet after the fact, like Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the minute it was repealed,
yeah.
Like there was nothing, but there were 40 stories leading up to Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal that were like, the president's backing down, he's not going to do it,
said,
throw
Charlie
it under the bus.
Charlie legitimately said, I was surprised, and I'm thinking, well, Hal Sparks and I weren't.
Yeah.
We've been telling you this for 2 years,
and we were
it'll
telling
get this
you
done.
Exactly how it would go down, exactly the format it had to be done. So the Sunday after it's repealed, or the Thursday after it's repealed, there's no story on Huffington Post about it, and the one story is it's nine stories down, and what's the story? The story is it's going to take longer to put in motion than they say it's going to. Which didn't turn out to be the case either.
We could always find the dark cloud in the silver lining.
I know. It's amazing to me.
Well, I mean, here's the thing Charlie Pierce is right about. You know, when he says it shouldn't have been that hard, he's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just the decent thing to do, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the START treaty. They should be no-brainers, but the point is, they're not with this unprecedentedly obstructionist Republican Congress that we were dealing with, and conservative Dems, and the fact that he was able to get as much done as he has.
Is stunning.
Okay, yes, I'm like, what, that's his fault that it should have been easier to get these things done?
Yeah, what was he supposed to do? Hypnotize the psychopaths on the right and make them behave? What? Doesn't he?
You are getting sleepier. Like, you are not an obstructionist.
It's like Charlie Pierce watched the inauguration and the Obama election and went, oh my God, he's got this kind of messianic control over the left. Why doesn't he just use that power on the right?
You are hereby de-douche-nozzled.
Yeah, right. It doesn't happen. And it's not going to happen. This is the worst. The second he stepped in, the Tea Party was formed the day he was sworn in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what
And Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone.
Here's what the Republicans are going to find out right quick in a hurry.
Yeah.
Governing is different.
Yep.
Than campaigning. And this is what, a lot of people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz are making the point, and she will with us in an hour or so. That's all I'm saying is the stuff that he has gotten done. Yes, governing is hard, particularly with what he's been up against and what he inherited. And so it's like, is health care all we wanted it to be? No. But the Republicans, first of all, how do you run on your main things to reduce the deficit, and you're about to try to repeal health care and add, what's the price, Chris? What's $143 billion to the deficit immediately.
Yeah. In
addition to just voting for the tax cuts for the rich, which added, I don't know, Kristen, which number's that?
$900 billion?
Gazillion,
like
trillion, zillion dollars are we at? I mean, they literally just go, oh, not those things. Those things don't count.
Don't count because the rich are a small section of the GOP, but control the entire thing. And, by the way, view America like a hedge fund that they are cashing out of.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like Bush, said, oh, the war, that doesn't count towards the deficit.
Right.
No, don't count that.
And Obama gets, hammered for the deficit that goes up, but only because he put the war on the books for the first time.
Right.
He's like, this is actually what we're paying. This should be in the budget. And the left lets him get hammered for it.
It's
amazing.
And it does... You know, when you talk about things to cut, I think somebody was citing a poll yesterday. Again, kids... We're on the right side of the issues. I think the poll said 3% and 4% of the American public think Social Security and Medicare ought to be where we cut. I mean, where we ought to cut are unnecessary wars.
Yep.
Chris just brought up tax cuts for the top 2% that don't need them and don't want them.
Right.
Largely.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, health care, which is, and again, this poll we talked about yesterday talked about Fox viewers largely. think that it's adding to the deficit. That's why we have to repeal health care. It's like, that's exactly the opposite of what's true.
Right. So the president, by the way, does 5 press conferences last year, specifically talking about the benefits of health care and the health care bill itself. And Democrats in the House and Senate do 2. And then the American public doesn't know what's in it. And so when the Republicans go to repeal it, people think they're doing them a favor. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as we've said over and over, Hal, not only is he dealing with not the majorities that a Truman or a Johnson had, but he also, well, and I'm talking about even previously before today, but Fox News and 24/7 right-wing radio, which did not exist. And so that's what I think is frustrating when you look at these polls and how many voters voted with complete misinformation.
Right.
And you go, it's because, A, there is no liberal media. No. It takes John Stewart to get the 9/11 bill passed. Fox News and right-wing radio, as we know, is on hundreds of stations. Oh, here's another example why this happened. It's all because of here's a fine American from LeClaire, Iowa. Jeff, let me just give you a little peek into my world, Hal. You're just in here for a week or so. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you.
You got nothing on me, short timer.
Jeff and I will write Stephanie Miller in the Quad Cities. Hey, Steph, I have good news for you. Here in the Quad Cities in Iowa, a local talk radio station needed a new morning show to replace Dr. Laura, so they conducted an online listener survey where listeners could vote on one of several different morning radio shows. Most were conservative talk shows like Glenn Beck or Laura Ingraham, but the survey also included
Stephanie Miller.
I remember that.
The fact that I even got included.
Look at that.
On a right-wing station. How about that? The last time I checked, each of the conservative talkers had between 5 and 10% of the votes, but the Stephanie Miller show had well over 40% and was the runaway favorite.
Right.
Congratulations, Stephanie. So as you might have guessed, in light of the overwhelming response to their survey, the station naturally decided to put on Glenn Beck in the morning.
Of course. Glenn Beck, who was just canceled in New York City.
Right.
Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Largely because they
ratings.
That and litigatory issues.
But you know, liberal radio has failed. That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
That's what I'm told.
Right.
Not only does he have crap ratings, but he promotes people driving to places with trunkloads of guns. And some of the stations are like, you know what,
we can't really afford security. Have you not checked out the radio business and the economy these days?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Once again. Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back with our hump days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. Steffi. Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Hal Sparks at Flappers in Burbank this weekend and Indianapolis next weekend.
Just
check
Friday
it out.
Friday night. Just this Friday night I'm at Flappers.
HalSparks.com is the website. More importantly, right now on HalSparks.com you can see
Stephanie Miller.
That's true.
On the Ustream.
You're very pretty. People need to know this.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Not as pretty as you. Spencer in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Spencer.
Hi there.
Hello.
I don't think you have to point out the hypocrisy, but I'd like to point out the hypocrisy of the Tea Parties once again. If you think about it, not only are they going to destroy the budget and the economy by repealing health care as if they could, they know they can't do it, so they're wasting a ton of money and time trying to do it, thereby being hypocrites.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz will talk about this later, Spencer. It is the ultimate in hypocrisy to run on cutting the deficit, and your first thing out of the box is going to be to add $143 billion to it. By repealing health care.
Well, not only that, by trying to do that when they know they can't do that because it's going to get vetoed and they don't have the vote. So
yeah, Spencer, we may have
wasting more money.
We may have buyer's remorse in record time.
I think so.
Let's start the egg timer now. I got to tell you, John Kasich, did you see this, Chris? Mm-hmm. His approval rating's already down. He hasn't even taken office yet.
Yeah.
He killed because now, like we've been saying, let's see how they govern. This is what Anthony Weiner and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, it's like, okay, let's see how you do. And his first thing is to kill a rail project, which would have brought a ton of private sector jobs.
Private sector jobs, yep.
Yeah. They killed it, and you know...
They... It's amazing how much they hate rail. They hate, like... It, yeah. I don't know, do they get a ton of money from the trucking industry, or...
Something.
I don't get it, because they literally, like, any kind of personal transit or any kind of shipping of goods, like, do not lay train tracks in a red state.
Yeah.
They're so against it, it's...
And they seem like they're only for the most inefficient ways of getting around.
Right. It's stunning. And yet they have no specific other than it's government, which it isn't. But whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, no, I mean, but in this whole meme that they're good for business party, you know, the businessmen in Ohio are like, what? Thanks. This would have created all this business around all these train stops. It would have created the jobs, obviously. But they're just like, what? Huh? I mean,
right. Well, yeah. Wisconsin did the same thing. As soon as they did, they killed this the thing, and this company moved out because they're like, well, we were going to use this rail to ship goods in and out of the state, and it doesn't exist anymore, so we're going to close the factory before we even get a chance to open it.
But as a resident of California, I say thank you for the extra
money,
because it's coming here.
$50 billion in loan guarantees for high-speed rail. Thanks very much. We're going to now be able to take a train from here to Vegas or from here to San Francisco before too
long. Thanks, because Schwarzenegger took all our money back in the chopper with him when he left.
Right.
I'm up here. Get to the chopper now. Get down.
Anyways.
Denise in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. I just want to make a comment, Stephanie. You said there's buyer's remorse, but I don't think that these people that put the Tea Party members in office, that they are going to have buyer's remorse, because the main reason they did that is to defeat President Obama. So no matter what happens, they really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They've told us that. You know, when Mitch McConnell tells you that his top priority is to make sure the president's a one-term president.
It doesn't matter what the Republicans do. Take away their benefits, health benefits or whatnot. They don't care.
Nope.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, Denise. I mean, I can't imagine the American people are going to watch, you know, them chew up time reading the Constitution, voting to repeal health care, which they aren't going to be able to do. This is it? This is what we voted for?
They have two platforms that they run on.
And then the investigations with Daryl Asshat.
They run on two big things, which is we're fiscally conservative. We're all worried about debt and the deficit. This is the one big rail of what they're doing. And then the other one is, of course, we want to stop nanny government. We want to keep the government and make it small and get it out of our business.
Oh, you know what they also want to get rid of? One of them wants to get rid of. They want to get rid of the food safety bill. Speaking of...
By the way, how does that help business when more workers go home sick because they don't know that their food is poisoned until it's too late?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Great. Well thought out.
Does anyone really agree with Daryl Issa that this is the most corrupt president in history?
He's
really
a moron.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, across the bar. Three chicks. One hot, one kind of hot, and one...
Stephanie Miller.
Who I'm assuming is really funny.
How do I get to my Facebook page?
You sign in and you follow the link to your...
Oh, I have to sign in to my own Facebook page? I'm trying to see the orange boner. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jan in Chicago with the breaking news. Hi, Jan.
Oh, hi. Hi. Yes,
hi.
Breaking news. Hi. I love you.
Oh, who doesn't get along?
Hi.
Hi. I talked with you 2 weeks ago when you filled in for Steph.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and I suggested that they get rid of Robert Gibbs and make you the press secretary, because, like, you're
cool. They're halfway there.
And so I heard it on the news this morning. I'm like, oh, yeah, somebody was listening to me.
Yes.
They're not going to let me do it either, because I wouldn't be Alan Grayson about it, but I do have a limit.
I say Alan Grayson. That's who I want.
And if Robert Gibbs got into trouble with his professional left comment, I would get in really deep doo-doo.
You know what? The thing is, people would listen to how you speak and what you look like, and they wouldn't have
That's
to
right.
Hear
exactly. He would hypnotize Gibbs, all the chicks, first of all.
Like, where did the president? The president's so cool and suave and multiracial. And then he goes and finds this ultra-white, doofus, dorky guy to represent him. I'm like,
My God.
Did he get him?
him.
Well, you got to know your audience.
I think we could do better than Robert Gibbs. I think it's going to be a good...
You know, somebody like a D.D. Myers or George Stephanopoulos. You know what I'm saying?
Not George, but
I'm with you, Jan, on the Hal Sparks nomination. All right, there we go.
Well, a lot of people think that I already am.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody, like yesterday, I got this.
You'd have the sense of humor to actually wear a badge saying Obama apologist.
Yeah.
The official.
I have no problem with that. I'm a pragmatist. I want to get stuff done. And I, you know, I understand long game. I don't flinch. I, you know, and it's when people go, you shouldn't, how dare
well,
you?
Know, like, yeah, we had Richard Wolf on yesterday, who I love, who has this new book. And he talks about the split in the Obama administration between revivalists, with they want to revive the campaign, and the pragmatists. And this is exactly what I keep saying the Republicans are going to find out. Governing is not campaigning.
Right.
You know, look, I still have my hope thing. I'm wearing my Hope Obama thing right now. But that's the thing. It's like then in the real world and getting this stuff done, he is doing many, many things that he said he was going to
do.
It may not look exactly like we thought or we hoped. But, you know, I said this yesterday, how you were bringing up that you talked a lot the week you filled in about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I got to say to my gay brethren, do you feel bad? That you heckled him?
Where's the crowing?
That you heckled the president at speeches, and that you didn't turn out in these midterms because you didn't think we were getting Don't Ask, Don't Tell done fast enough?
At Ariana's house, did they serve crow for Christmas dinner? Because I'm seriously.
All right, don't get me disinvited to Ariana's house.
I'm sorry.
Now you've gone too far.
Don't worry. She'll keep bringing you. Believe me.
You are still invited to the Plame house.
I'm still invited to Ariana's house. Believe me. She doesn't weed people out.
Charles,
as much you might think.
She doesn't have very good taste, which is good for me.
Yeah,
Charles
me too.
In Los Angeles. Hey, Charles.
Well, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, baby.
All right. Now, the quick, easy response to these Republicans, they want to make it so these insurance companies can drop your coverage when they get ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They want to roll back everything that we've done.
That's it. Quick and simple, spread the word, and let the country know.
Yeah,
well, they need to. Here's the amazing thing. Did you ever see a Republican go, you know what, we don't want people to take care of, but because we believe in the free market, if you paid into insurance and they decided when you get sick that they're going to take away your insurance, then they have to give you back all your premium money that day. They have to go, oh, you know what, we missed something on your form. We got to give you all your money. They're never going to do that because they're siding completely with the money running out of this country.
I have friends whose kids right now are able to be on their insurance up to their 25.
January
My
1st.
Mom would be affected by
the donut hole. Closed. Right.
Yes. I mean, she is 88 years old and has breast cancer. I mean, it really is sort of stunning that, you know, you're running on taking those things away.
Their first action was to run that repeal as, and they called it like the anti-job killing bill. This is what they're running it as. Their repeal of health care.
Yeah.
That's, by the way, going to land nowhere.
This is another exhibit A in how, in my mind, this president has just been faced not just unprecedented obstruction, but disrespect. I mean, I don't think you need just a Joe Wilson to yell "you lie" during the State of the Union. I don't know what it is, that it just permeates down, just a basic lack of respect for the office. Even the Republicans saying, "Oh yeah, we can't make that meeting." Well, when do you say that to the leader of the free world? Yeah, well, you know, we'll do the meeting when we feel like doing it. But anyway, the latest exhibit. You see this guy, the UFC fighter, you know, Ultimate Fighting Championship guy.
Yeah.
What's his name? Jacob Volkman.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked who he'd like to fight next. He said President Obama. Why? Apparently someone's got to knock some sense into that idiot.
Oh, God.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that passes for, discourse. They said, who do you want next? Actually, Obama. He said, wow, you're calling out Barack Obama right now. That's big. That's ballsy. No.
No, it isn't.
That's just stupid and disrespectful.
That's roidy is what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, so the wrestler goes on to say... of the Harvard Constitutional Scholar, he's not too bright. He made a lot of, like, making the home affordable plan and this health care plan. Somebody's got to knock some sense into that idiot. He said, get this, he's going to be a chiropractor? Because I guess he's, you know, has experience breaking other guys' backs, so,
Oh, sure, well, all right.
He said, because I'm starting my own business, and it's not real easy when you're actually giving insurance companies the power to decline you and not pay you. Oh, my God. The new health care law, of course... would actually do the opposite. The law not only helps prevent rejection of coverage, but provides small businesses with more affordable insurance options.
Yeah. And
so not only is he an idiot, but he thinks, you know, threatening bodily harm
and, guess
and calling
what,
the person an idiot is
right.
You know, what counts for discourse.
Guess
days.
What one of the things the Republicans always remove from any potential health care shifts? The ability to put alternative care on there, including chiropractic.
Speaking, yeah, the Chiropractic Association said this is good for the chiropractic business,
right.
You moron.
And the Republicans try to pull that out all the time. All right, so.
Well, anyway, but this is, I was comparing this to, what's his name? Remember the Baltimore Orioles guy, Luke Scott,
yeah.
Who recently insisted the president's a communist who's destroying America and was not born here.
Right, yeah.
Can we put a moratorium on interviewing sports morons from now on? I mean, at least he didn't threaten bodily harm to the president. Yeah. So, it's like...
We're moving in the right direction.
I think somebody needs to knock some sense into that idiot.
I think he should do it to himself.
So.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and
hit
go...
Do us a favor. Hit yourself in the head with a plank.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you please?
Right. You might wake up tomorrow and go, oh, wow. What I said was insane.
I am a moron.
Yeah.
Christopher in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
Good. Well, we've renamed the state Mississippi thanks to Scott Walker. his first move in the Wisconsin State Journal reporting is that he's going to put a cap on how much you can sue manufacturers and healthcare providers for, you know, any kind of malpractice. And you also cannot even bring state regulations, code violations into court as evidence anymore. But his first move is we're open for business. How is this creating jobs?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You know.
No, I mean, it's the same thing as John Kasich. Christopher, I've got to tell you, I feel so bad for our friends in Wisconsin and in Ohio.
Oh, this just sucks. I'm like, do we just leave and come back in 4 years?
Brother,
like,
you live.
You know what I'd be doing, Chris? I would be in a fetal position every morning on Russ Feingold's doorstep. I would just be bringing in this paper for him.
where are you located? Are you in...
He's in Madison.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Madison.
Welcome to Cancer Cluster, because that's, look at Mississippi for those, we need to bring jobs to the state by eliminating any protections that people have against the dangers caused by them. And this isn't just for workers. This is downstream. Anybody who works from some chemical plant that can only be fined $12,000 a day as these people dump anything they want into the water stream. You live downstate from these idiots, and they go, well, we can't kill the jobs here by regulating the amount of toxins these guys can dump. It's amazing to me.
All right.
Yeah.
We've been doing more than our fair share of name-calling this segment, haven't we?
Yeah. Oh, it's been called for.
What a bunch of asshats we are.
Right.
Steve in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Steve.
Hi. My point is that I think that the people who are putting pressure on Obama by saying, and the administration and the Senate and everybody by saying this isn't going to get done, I have to equate to being the opposite of taking single payer off the table before you even begin to negotiate. I think it's an effective method to speculate that he's not going to get it done to make him prove that he's going to get it done.
Oh, you only hit him because you love him.
I would agree on one point. If there was any variance in what he was doing, and he was dropping that like don't ask, don't tell. But the lead up to that was he never wavered on any of it. I mean, he literally said this has to be done in Congress. We're going to push it through. He worked with congressional leaders to make it go through. It was
no. I mean, in some ways,
everybody bailed the day after it was signed.
He has said the same thing since he said we have some gay friends in the red states.
Yes.
You know. We could do a little skit now if we had rehearsed it all. But you could just be the president being calm and consistent, and I'll be the naysayers.
We need to change this law throughout the Congress.
No! Hurry up! You hate gays!
This has to be
a
permanent change.
You're caving into the Republicans! Flip-flopper! No!
That allows the military the ability to...
I'm not voting.
There.
Thank you.
Nice skit.
I would agree with him if I really thought it drove him anywhere, but what it really did was a scare. It made the hardline Democrats feel like they couldn't back the president because they thought the shifting ground underneath them of our voting bloc couldn't be counted on.
And we know Democratic spines can be a little gelatinous in the first place.
Right.
So it doesn't take much to make a Democrat
that
flinch.
That behavior gave more strength to the conservadems than any
other
thing.
Yeah, well, what it got us is this Republican majority that you see today magically.
But only in the House.
In the House.
Only in the House, not in the Senate.
Yeah, they're going to share our Senate pain soon, aren't they? They're going to pass all this fabulous Tea Party legislation in the House, and then, hold on there, what? We can't get it through the Senate.
But you know what? There aren't a whole lot of Tea Partiers in the House anyway. It's just the news is focusing on the few that are there.
The liberal media?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
40 out of the 42 out of the 116 or whatever.
Right.
And the Progressive Caucus held on to nearly everybody in there.
Exactly.
Conservatives out, conservative Dems out.
Right. And so it's not nearly as bad as the media is making it out to be.
That man you hear breathing heavily is Max in L.A.
Hello. Hi, Max in L.A.
Hi, Max.
Hey, good morning. You know, I think that the biggest sign of disrespect that they show toward the president is when they call health care reform Obamacare.
Of course.
Yeah.
I got into that with a conservative friend of mine on Facebook. I think that's just sad.
Well, remember when it was Clinton Care and it was Hillary Care and, you know.
Of course. They attach these names to these people that they vilify.
Yep.
And they drag it down. And the knuckle draggers, they can't understand it or cope
I think we ought to call them all boner bills from now on, don't you think?
That's a great idea.
Oh, another boner bill. Here it comes. All right. That boner bill needs Cialis. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, he is delicious. Hal Sparks is with us. 51 minutes after the hour. Hold on.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Well done.
One, eyes to be top 40 DJ. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. By the way, I figured out how to get to my own Facebook page.
Miracles can happen.
Doesn't this picture match up? He looks like a Clydesdale horse. Who's the one looking like a horsey?
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what picture has more comments, though?
The boner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agent Orange.
Agent Orange, who will take the gavel of the House a couple of hours from now. He, you know, I was saying he looks like he's under a French fry light. Hal, but if you look at it more carefully, he actually looks like a French fry because he's not just really orange. He's kind of greasy.
Crispy
and,
as well.
Yeah.
He looks like he's like a spicy curly fry.
He looks like one of those Burger King fries that's sprayed with the artificial stuff.
If you hugged him, you'd get all oil on your fingers.
Yeah.
You know, you get that
give
out of your
Cheeto
clothes.
Cheeto fingers.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cheeto fingers. That's how you can tell if you've just hugged John
Boehner. John
Boehner.
Right.
You have Cheeto fingers.
Finger check.
I love Hump Days with Hal. Okay. It's like Christmas every Wednesday. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Jennifer in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jen.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if you guys have already talked about this, but our local NPR is reporting that Michelle Bachmann is considering a run for president.
Oh, Lord, please.
I know.
Please.
I actually live in her congressional district, so poor me. But, can you believe it? What do you think? Palin, Bachman?
I was just going to say, first of all, one of our dreams could come true, Jennifer, and that is that Bachman will run with Jeanine Turner, who is also a right-wing tool, and therefore we will have a Bachman-Turner overdrive.
Yeah.
Overload.
Well,
BTO?
She's talking to consultants in Iowa.
Terrific.
Please, God.
Jeanine Turner, wake up. I know you're not acting anymore, but come on.
Well,
I know
I'm sure she would like to act.
I know you're up early.
She's not getting hired.
Yes. So she's available to be number two on the Bachman-Turner ticket. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Chris, if only one of our dreams can come true.
Oh. They'd be taking care of business.
Oh,
what would that business
be?
Oh, shutting down the VA and leaving soldiers out to dry and making sure that old people have to pay twice as much for their medications as they have to now and shutting down the Department of Education because apparently that doesn't benefit the general welfare, which is in the Constitution, and that the government doesn't have the right to pay for it by excising taxes, duties, imposts, and...
Yeah, she just teach her little constitution class all day.
Sure.
Yeah. By the way,
until she runs into the word imposts, which means the government can actually impose taxes.
Right.
Here are some of
she'll skip right over that.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take a look at some of the incoming members of Congress, shall we? Here are the fun facts about some of the delights you have to look forward to. Speaking
good times.
Of, you know, they're constitutional
scholars,
conservatives, or
right,
whatever.
Something. The House Republican leadership recently announced they require every bill to be accompanied by a constitutional authority statement explaining why Congress has the power to enact the bill. Representative Scott Garrett, Republican of New Jersey, is leading an effort to use this new constitutional authority rule to eliminate Congress's power to do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
That is really how they govern, is they don't think government should do anything. So they're going to try to just not do anything.
Again, have they read Article 1 of the Constitution?
Spending on public education and local transportation projects are just two of the unconstitutional programs Garrett cited when
General
asked for examples.
General welfare, common defense. Mm-hmm.
No, he's part of the movement cheered on by the Tea Party. They're called Tenters.
Tenters, right.
Yes, uh-huh. Who argue a strict reading of the Tenth Amendment prohibits much of what the federal government does every day. Eliminating Pell Grants and federal loan assistance, just the tip of Garrett's radicalism. The even tougher rule Garrett seeks would effectively write two key provisions out of the Constitution. His House rule resolution will require all bills and amendments to contain a statement appropriately citing a specific power granted to Congress in the Constitution, invoking the General Welfare Clause or the Necessary and Proper Clause would not be adequate. Constitutional citations.
Sure,
the Necessary and Proper Clause, while not quite as essential to a functioning government as Congress's power to spend money, is the basis for Congress's power to print legal money. So Garrett, not just prepared to declare virtually all federal spending unconstitutional, he apparently thinks money is also unconstitutional.
Wow.
Good luck with all of that.
Yeah. Article 1. The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. Answer me this. Does an educated populace generally promote the welfare of a country?
Kinda, yeah.
How about the common
defense? It
doesn't
say it in there. Don't say it in the Constitution. Where in there does it say that?
How easy is it to take over a country if they have an uneducated populace?
The conservatives like to pay attention to promote the common defense or the they like to focus on that part but ignore the general welfare part.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And even though they're given equal billing in Article 1 of the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Nancy Pelosi, moving on, she spoke yesterday. Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
Former Speaker.
Actually, I don't really look back. I look forward. And we look forward to, as I said before, being a willing partner and solving the problems of the American people.
She says she had no regrets on her last day as House Speaker. She said she looks forward to leading a loyal but tenacious opposition in the House. She started by calling Republicans hypocrites for trying to repeal President Obama's health care overhaul, saying it would add to the federal budget deficit, which is true. You know what? She's a survivor. She will. You know what? She.
You didn't.
There was a party in her office yesterday.
Really, you're going to play that song? You're going to do that to me? I'm here one day a week.
It is the chick breakup song of all time.
And the gay breakup song.
Yeah. Well, either way. First of all. All right. I'm not even going to
do
that. Oh, God. I'm taking my headphones off. Tell me when it's over.
Man up over there.
I am. That's the problem.
He took off his headphones. That's how he manned up.
Yeah. It's like, I let you have your fun. I just removed myself from the experience. I'm man enough to do that.
Shirley in Phoenix, real quick.
Good morning.
Hi,
Happy
Shirley.
New Year.
Thank you, baby.
Before I make my comment, because I know you're going to go quickly, one of my Christmas gifts for my son was Charmageddon.
Aw, thanks. My
and
special.
We had a blast watching it.
You know what goes really well with that? The Steffcast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
That's true.
But my comment also is, let's embarrass the Congress and every Republican. Give up your health care, please.
That's right. Shirley, she echoes Chuck Schumer's call. Absolutely.
And Steve
King
said no yesterday.
You are hypocritical if you're voting. Yeah, if you're voting to repeal Americans' health care, give up yours. Show them how strong you are on that. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com. Yes, we do have the our new orange overlord, his picture on the New York Times.
Woof.
Looking particularly orange. Somebody on my Facebook page said, wow, Snooki looks like... check it out. It is Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Jim Ward, voice deity extraordinaire. Oh, you mentioned on CNN he looks like ball of...
He looks like clay, like red clay.
Yeah.
And so I was saying, he was once a little orange ball of clay.
Pokey.
Pokey was orange.
Yeah.
It looks like close-up of a Cheeto thumb.
Yeah.
Like if you just took some gamer's thumb after he'd been playing Halo for nonstop and Cheeto orange, just held it up to a...
And he is greasy. He looks like he's melting to some degree.
Well, he's sweating. He's nervous because he has to govern instead of just.
I think
from
he
the
knows
sideline.
How many drinking games are sprouting up around the country, in betting pools about how long it'll be before he starts crying when he takes the gavel. So he's and that's the as actors, both of you guys, that's what makes you cry on cameras when you try not to cry.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the technique.
Well,
so
if
good luck
Nancy
to him.
Pelosi accidentally slams it into his nads while handing over the gavel, I think his crying could start early.
Here you go.
Which we do
Here's
not promote
the gavel.
As a
No, of course not.
No.
I'm just saying, if it happens, that's all
America's funniest house videos.
I weep for America. Do you understand what? America's in danger with me at the helm of the house? Are you kidding me?
It's going to be a disaster.
See, why can't our comedy dreams ever come true? Why can't it be America's funniest house videos? Why can't they bring Bob Saget back? She comes in with the Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Wow.
I love this headline today. House GOP challenges Obama to join them. To join them and bending him over a little further and helping him to,
Help us destroy the country quicker than we otherwise would.
Yeah, because we want to dismantle the Department of Education. It's nice to have priorities that will help the country.
Well, in their mind, it does.
Yeah.
They need lots of dumb people, useful idiots, as Lennon said.
Right.
Vladimir, not John.
House Majority Leader Eric Cantor conceded the new Republican majority intends to bypass its own rules when it votes next week to wipe out health care.
Great.
We just need to repeal it. So now the rules, see, that's what I'm saying. Hal, have you ever played, games with kids that would just change the rules?
You're like, no stinking
that's
badges.
Not how you play dodgeball. What?
Sure.
When did you make that rule?
Welcome to Sweatshop America, brought to you by Dumb Down the Populace, so they think we're actually doing some good.
All right, this is... This
the American
is...
people have spoken, and they clearly said, go! Angry!
I haven't read anything about this, but I'm mad about it.
They said, dur. I think the people in Ohio, as we were saying last hour, are finding out in record time what they're like governing. It's what? He...
You,
huh?
What?
What? He killed the train?
But we need...
All those jobs are...
What happened to all the jobs?
What do you mean they're reopening the donut hole so my grandmother has to pay twice as much for her medication this year, so she has to cut pills in half and eat cat food so that she doesn't die of a seizure? Yeah, great.
Yeah, this is the story out of, if you're listening in Ohio, congratulations on your new governor. Governor John Kasich, a former Fox News personality, touting his plan when he was running to help the private sector quickly create jobs, Kasich insisted he would help improve the atmosphere in our state for real business development by meeting the needs of businesses to overcome governmental snafus. The first thing he did, killed Ohio's high-speed rail project. In doing so, he derailed many businesses' economic development plans and effectively killed, get it? Killed the private sector jobs he promised to create, leaving one businessman to call his decision unbelievable, mind-boggling, and naive. Mm-hmm. He said it's unbelievable these states would send back $400 million to $800 million in free money. It's mind-boggling. The only thing I can compare it to is the Interstate Highway Program back in the 60s. Where would Ohio be today if it opted out of the Interstate Highway System? To suggest passenger rail would be any different is naive. He said in addition to the jobs his company would have added, abandoning the rail plan negates millions of dollars in potential development that would have clustered around each rail station along the 258-mile route.
Oops.
By the way,
in a little side. Perfectly willing to spend taxpayer money to pay for security improvements as his own private residence. He's choosing to be the first Ohio governor in a generation to live in his private residence rather than the already secured governor's mansion. Ohioans will now pay for around-the-clock security.
He's going to need
Kasich
a moat.
Home.
Yeah, exactly.
and alligators.
The peasants storm the castle.
How much does an alligator go for these days? Decisions like these help to explain the 7-point drop in his approval rating before he's even taken office.
What do you know? One of the people in our chat room on the Ustream mentioned that it costs $1 million a mile to make railway, and maintain it. It costs $8 million a mile to maintain highways, interstate.
Yeah.
So
oh, George in Indiana wants to know why the Republicans aren't discussing job creation. George, they are. They're discussing how to get rid of more of them, like killing rail projects.
Yeah. Right. Job creation in China. Hello,
yeah, and in China.
Hello.
Hello,
gentlemen.
Hello. Hello.
Listen, one of the little-known parts of Grover Norquist's plan to dumb government down to this point where they can strangle it in the bathtub or something was the fact that he wanted to decimate manufacturing to create dependency on the government to further bankrupt it. Now, I'd like to hear more discussion, not only from the Republicans, but especially from our Democratic friends, about manufacturing jobs. The way to pay down the deficit and make Social Security solvent forever is to build a tax base.
Absolutely.
To make these towns and cities solvent again is to build a tax base in these towns and cities.
Yeah.
If you don't manufacture stuff in a country, all my friends and family who are lucky enough to be working and neighbors are in either food service or retail making, if they're lucky, $7.25 to $8 an hour,
wow.
30 hours a week tops, maximum, and they'll still work you 12 hours a day, 2 days a week because somebody called off. That's the reality for millions of Americans.
Right.
And after the Republicans got in, before they got in, I heard nothing but, where are the jobs? Where are the jobs? Now I hear nothing at all about it.
And you're not going to, by
well,
the way.
Well, we know where the jobs are. John Kasich is sending them out of Ohio,
China.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
China, yes.
They have no interest. Again, that's part of the plan. The guys in Wisconsin and Ohio are on board with Nordquist's plan. And they're doing their thing. That elimination of that railway is not just an accidental kind of throw off. They have a long term goal to crush the country to some degree so they can rebuild it in their image. It's this crash the patient so we can put in our artificial heart.
Ironically, right. Many of the where John Kasich is sending the jobs you can get to by train.
Isn't it ironic?
You mean Mexico?
Other states that will take the
yeah, totally, right.
The
and it's also
money.
Ironic that the railway system in this country was built largely by Chinese immigrants.
Yeah.
And who has the high-speed trains now? China.
China. And guess what? Guess who's building the high-speed train from Irvine to Las Vegas that everybody joked about? It's being funded by a giant Chinese bank and investment group.
Mm. All right. Oh, Jim Ward, we, as you know, spoke ill of you last hour before you were here, as we normally do. It's what we now fill the first hour with, and you want a chance to defend your... I was just saying that when Charlie Pierce is on naysaying, you tend to agree with him, and then when Hal's here, said that you're just here for a paycheck.
No,
that's not true. It's because you think I'm pretty, right?
No, well, yeah, you are pretty. Okay,
thanks,
I'll give you that.
Honey.
But you have this sort of childish notion that everyone's team or another. It has to be Team Jenner, Team Angelina, or you can't come in the treehouse. You wearing the wrong color jersey. Blech.
Uh-huh. So, I pulled the rope up when Hal's here.
Totally.
I did praise Obama for getting stuff done during the lame duck session.
Right.
And for lighting a fire under Harry Reid.
Absolutely.
But,
okay.
You know, when he does things that...
But do you agree that Charlie Pierce was very, very negative? He didn't even give him credit for Don't
Ask,
Don't Tell. It was like,
sure, the He-Man Obama Haters Club, just like Glenn Greenwald is. And there's just no convincing them otherwise. No matter, even on bills they agree on, they will never go... This is important and was well done on anything, and therefore I have to kind of throw out what they're saying with
Jen,
the
bathwater.
I just hope he's given up on the compromise thing because there's going to be no.
But see, you said yesterday, you said again, caving into Republicans. That's what we do. It's like how is Don't Ask, Don't Tell or Start or anything we got to? How is that caving?
I didn't say that was caving into Republicans,
but Glenn would, and so would Charlie, and they would.
Very good.
Yeah. Again, START treaty. Let's say Obama did nothing his entire 2 years except put START in place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are 2,200 nuclear weapons. The United States is pointing at we're going down to 1,500 with a goal of going to zero. It matters not what happens to our nuclear weapons. The fact that we now have the ability with the UN and with American sources of like information and technology to go over and secure Russian nuclear fissile material is an incredible step forward.
Which we
every single source of uranium on the black market that's ever been found to be stolen has come from Russia.
The former
every single
Soviet Union.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is what we were talking about last hour, how with this, whatever his name is, the wrestler fight guy,
right.
They call the president an idiot, and I'd like to knock some
sense
into him.
Oh, the UFC?
Yes.
Guy? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah, good luck getting through 20 Secret Service guys with Uzis.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, I was saying how that, you know, there is just not, to me, really even a basic level of respect. I mean, and I don't mean to, but your point about START is well taken.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost like, and I have no idea whether it's racism, what it is that's different, mm-hmm. but why do you need every former Republican Secretary of State and Defense
right.
to say, I mean, it's like what, Obama, you know, it's like, what is it, back in the day when, you know, black person needed 25 white people to vouch for him, or Republicans, you know, before it's...
Look,
seriously.
At some point, you have to realize
the START treaty. It would have been too, you know, conservative for Reagan, for God, or too liberal.
Well, if Barack Obama is Cleavon Little in Blazing Saddles, the
yeah.
Tea Party is Slim Pickens. Let's just be real honest about that. And to some degree, that what would be referred to as the professional left is Harvey Korman.
17 minutes after
the
hour.
So the Tea Party is saying, oi, Schwarzes.
Totally. Work.
Oh, boy.
That's John Boehner is Mel Brooks.
And first up, repealing health care, and they don't need no stinking badges. Just change the rules. We'll be back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Tell her about
it. Tell her everything you feel. Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, in the midst of hump days with Hal Sparks, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz joins us in just a few minutes.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So job one for the Republicans, it will be repealing health care. Which they will not be able to do because it won't pass the Senate. And even if it did, the president would veto it.
Wasting time on a window dressing bill that actually wouldn't benefit anyone?
January 12th.
Try the deficit up?
Yes. They will hold a vote to repeal the Affordable Care Act because they don't want affordable care.
Of course not.
Democrats, of course, quickly accused the new majority of bringing the measure to the floor without allowing time for adequate debate or bipartisan negotiation. Well, that's record time saying, gee, are they going to be that hypocritical? Why, yes.
Yes,
they are. They bitched the whole time.
I think they should call it the Kill Kid, Sick Kids Act.
Yeah, and old people.
Yeah.
Right. Call the herd bill.
Jim Moran argued that a Democrat of Virginia argued Republicans will force the Congress to vote on repeal without first considering the consequences of completely eliminating the measure. He said, we had 80 bipartisan hearings. Remember they kept screaming, you're just rushing this through without any hearing. We don't.
What a shock.
We made this bill available for a month to consider before we brought it to the floor. They're going to bring it right to the floor, the party supposedly of transparency and open government, right to the floor without any hearings. Record time! Congratulations on your hypocrisy. It is stunning,
but for
you.
If they have hearings, they have to say what they are trying to do, and the American people will go, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they can't
But you know
have
what it does have
government.
That our bill didn't have? It has a lot less pages.
Sure.
It's two separate two-page bills, so it's a lot simpler.
It just says, no.
Or not.
Quit it!
You're
page
stupid.
So the CBO, which, as you know, they tout those numbers from the nonpartisan budget office when they feel it suits them.
Right.
Yes. But now, the CBO has previously estimated that eliminating the entirety of the health care law would add $143 billion to the deficit over 10 years. This is the party that just won on reducing the deficit. As a result, the GOP is excluding the vote from its new cut-go rule, under which an increase in mandatory spending would have to be paid for, but tax cuts would not, and dismissing the CBO's estimates of savings in the health. Isn't that convenient?
Chris Van Hollen was talking about that this morning on Bill Press. It's like throwing the umpire off the field.
Right.
Like, you're out! No, I'm not.
You never even made it.
Mm-mm.
Nancy Pelosi yesterday on this. Representative Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi.
She's there somewhere.
To say we're going to repeal it is just, as has been said by my colleagues, is to do very serious violence to the national debt and deficit.
Yes, violence! Yes, roll for
right.
that!
Yeah. Arr! Again, they think that sounds good.
Right.
Punching the deficit in the face. No, you're making it worse.
Representative Chris Van Hollen, the aforementioned.
What they're going to do is engage in Enron-type accounting to say that when they move to try and repeal health care a week from tomorrow, that the hit on the deficit will not matter.
Right. Yeah, you know,
it really is stunning to hear them. It's like they just did this with the tax cuts for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, that doesn't add. Yes, it does. It quantitatively adds.
We got to cut spending.
Billions to the deficit.
Hey, you know, we need to let the private sector do things, you know, because they know how to do things better.
Sure,
you know, like Enron and Bank of America. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Representative Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut.
Repeal of health care by the Republicans is political theater. It is a kabuki dance.
Oh, come on. That's reserved for the Supreme Court confirmation process. You can't use kabuki dance for this.
Been taken.
Yes. Representative Peter Welsh of Vermont.
It's about transparency and accountability. If they want to have an open process, the Republicans should permit us to vote yes or no.
Yeah, I mean, it really, even for them, I have to say that is fairly stunning. Representative David Dreyer. Republican of California.
It's going to be challenging. I mean, that's what James Madison really envisaged for us. He wanted a clash of ideas. He didn't want this to be done easily. He wanted the process of lawmaking to be ugly and messy and difficult. And it's going to be.
Good. More ugliness. Just what the American people were hoping for
exactly.
In politics. Yes.
You know, but somebody did say about this, you know, this process of rushing a bill through. Somebody did say something, I think, very sound. They said, I ask each of you to vow to never let this happen again. This process, this defiance of our citizens, it's not too late to begin to restore the bonds of trust with our nation. Return comedy to this institution. Oh, that was John Boehner back when we pushed health care through in the first place,
when we
did actually have committee meetings.
Yeah. Chuck Schumer, among others, I'm making a really good point, pushing Republican members of Congress who oppose the health care, who ran on repealing it, to decline health coverage for themselves and their families if they hate government health care so much. I mean, it really is. What's his name? The Representative-elect Joe Walsh, an Illinois freshman. He's a Republican. He said he's going to keep his promise not to accept healthcare benefits, despite his wife's pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, his poll ratings in his own house, of course, not good. But you have to give him points for consistency.
Absolutely. Whereas Steve King, who's like hardcore selling his belief and attachment to the Tea Party ideals, nowhere
near.
Where's
my healthcare?
Yep.
Right.
He said it was a central value to us when we passed health care, a central value to the American people, that members of Congress should get the same health care as everyone else. It seems unfair that House Republicans wanted to deprive middle-class Americans of the same health care as members of Congress, but keep it for themselves. Will Eric Cantor urge every Republican who's going to be for repeal to not take government health care themselves and drop their existing health care? He said of Walsh, he said, I don't agree with his views on health care, but at least he's being fair and consistent. And, of course, Cantor's spokesman said, if Senator Schumer wants to operate in the world of the illogical, we assume that he, Leader Reid, and Representative Pelosi will be giving up their own health care since it doesn't include the public option.
What?
We also assume that all three will refuse to accept the extension of the current tax rates and volunteer to pay higher taxes than the 19.
None of that makes any sense.
That's what my Republican brother said. Well, go ahead and say higher taxes if you want to.
Again, you have an argument that's based on
Yeah, I said I wouldn't respond to that even if we were still in middle school. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I realize you're currently at the mercy of your primitive biological urges, but as you have an entire lifetime of poor decisions ahead of you, may I interrupt this one?
I don't know if I have a lifetime of poor decisions, because guess what came in the mail yesterday?
What?
There it is, that moment in every woman's life. An AARP card?
What?
I'm too young for that!
You are. Sure it wasn't sent to, like, just the house?
Maybe. That's what I'm going with. That's the story I'm going with. Because old people used to live there.
Right.
It's about renewing my AARP membership.
Did they send you some duct tape?
Apparently Claudette Colbert used to live in my old apartment.
I'm going to fall in the donut hole, apparently.
And when I was on Talk Soup, it was this really old building. And apparently Claudette Colbert lived there, or at least somebody who got her mail.
That's weird.
And croaked in that room, probably.
Wow. Jim. You think there's a ghost?
Yeah.
You
have to get hurt stuff.
Worst succubi,
you know, under California laws, realtors have to disclose that. That's where
if
someone died here.
In your
yeah,
the body fell in the bathtub.
Sweet.
Okay. Okay, Jim, more importantly, under health care, who said under the Republican repeal effort, insurance companies would once again be able to drop people when they get sick, children with pre-existing conditions would be denied coverage, young people would not be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26, pregnant women, breast cancer survivors could be denied coverage, seniors will face an increase in their prescription drug costs, millions thrown back into the Medicare Part D donut hole. Who said that?
Maxwell Smart.
No, but someone even smarter, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who joins us now.
Well.
Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie. I just want you to know that my husband got Modern Maturity magazine in our mailbox a couple weeks ago.
At least it wasn't Antique Maturity.
Give him my number so we can bitch and moan.
Exactly.
Well, I got to say, you've been, as usual, kicking ass all over the TV. Saw you on Face the Nation this weekend. But, I mean, you know, the quote I just read from you, just so to the point, I mean, first of all, it's a useless exercise and a waste of our time at a really critical time, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. I mean, what we're trying to show is what the reality of repealing health care will mean for real people. I mean, and every minute that the Republicans spend on their obsession with repealing health care reform, fruitlessly, you know, spending time on that when it's not going to happen, number one, and when it's going to harm people, number two, is a minute that we are not spending on creating jobs and turning the economy around and cutting the deficit.
Could you put forward a resolution to make me queen of America, which also won't pass, but at least...
Well, you know, according to the Republicans, if you spent some time talking about the fact that you were going to do it, then you might as well do it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, take a listen to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, won't you?
We cannot take our eyes off the prize of continuing our economic recovery. We are going to watch for every Republican hypocrisy and call them on it when we see it.
Yeah! Rock on, Debbie Wasserman Schultz on TV, now that you're on the radio talking about you on the TV. but, you know, it really is, these are serious times. This is what we keep, you know, pointing out is, you know, this is all fun and games, talking about reading the Constitution and repealing health care, but we have serious economic problems that you guys are trying to get to.
Yeah, it's all fun and games unless you're a senior is not going to have that 50% rate cut in brand name prescription drugs that started on Saturday as a result of health care reform. All fun and games is unless you're the woman who came up to me a few weeks ago in the supermarket and said, Debbie, thank you so much for passing health care reform. You saved me $3,000 last year because I could put my two adult daughters back on my health insurance plan. So, you know, we need to make sure that people understand that not only does trying to repeal health care reform waste precious time that we should be spending on creating jobs and turning the economy around, but it also harms real people. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that we are concentrating on deficit reduction. Health care reform cuts the deficit by $143 billion in the first 10 years and over $1 trillion in the second 10 years.
Yeah.
So right out of the gate, their hypocrisy on day one begins.
Well, you know, and as you say, you're going to call them out on every hypocrisy, as you and Chuck Schumer and others are doing. It's like, okay, if you ran on repealing health care, give up yours. And, you know, what, four or five of them have done so thus far?
Five, yes. A whopping five have criticized, you know, quote-unquote government-sponsored or government-subsidized health care reform, yet they have no trouble taking it.
By the way, you're going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
24/7 job. You're so tired. You're going to need, like, jaw yoga if you're going to be able to call them out on every. Yeah,
even your husband's going to have more energy, even at his age.
Right. Oil can.
You know, but that's the thing. It's like when you know, your statement I just read, I mean, that's my mom. She's 88, you know, gets Medicare prescription drugs, has breast cancer. I mean, it's just, all of us know.
My mom, too, Stephanie. Yeah. My mom is a cancer survivor, and she is not yet Medicare eligible. I mean, my mom is in the category of people who has not yet qualified for Medicare, but the health care reform legislation gave her an opportunity as someone who could retire early to have a way to get health care insurance.
Yep.
Not if you repeal it.
So your good friend Eric Cantor said, everyone knows this bill has the potential to bankrupt the federal government and the states, although he cited no estimates. What?
Maybe he was talking about his bill.
Yeah.
What's he basing that on, Congresswoman?
You know, who knows? Because that's what they've been allowed to get away with through this whole campaign in the last year or two is – repeating garbage over and over with no facts or statistics or credibility to back it up.
The big lie theory.
Yeah, that's right. And now we're going to hold their feet to the fire. They are in charge in the House now. Now they have to govern, and we're going to see what they do with the, with that power. So far, it looks like they're going to abuse it.
Well, but here's what disturbs me, is that Eric Cantor seems to have no greater an understanding of the health care bill than this wrestler that said he wants that the president's an idiot and he'd like to kick his ass because he... I mean, seriously, first of all, this is what passes for acceptable rhetoric today. And secondly, he said because he's a small business owner, he can't afford this. I mean, he, you know, basically stated the exact opposite of what the health care bill does, which is help small businesses make health care more affordable. I mean, it's that's the extent of, like, the rhetoric that's gotten out there about this.
Look, they revealed what their priorities were. Mitch McConnell made it very clear right after the election that his number one priority is to defeat President Obama in the next election. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just unbelievable that they would be that transparent. usually, you know, you would think they would keep those goals, even though that's what their goals really are, under wraps and pretend to actually want to govern and make people's lives better. But so when you're dealing with people who have showed us what their plans are, we should believe them.
Yep, yep. Well, when you were on Face the Nation this weekend, it was you and Michelle Bachmann. What fun for you. Republican Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania and, of course, our good friend Anthony Weiner, a fellow Democrat of New York.
Yes.
Let me quote you once again, which may be repetitive for you, but shows I've done my preparation for this interview. You said what remains to be seen is whether members like Mike Kelly are going to be able to turn their essentially campaign rhetoric into some kind of reality. You said, I mean, we haven't had any concrete proposals. Anthony's absolutely right. We've only heard attacks on what they don't like. And this is a really good point, is they're going to find out very quickly that governing is different than campaigning, right?
Exactly. And so far, that rhetoric continues. I have not heard any of the new members, and a lot of them have been doing the news circuit in the last couple of weeks. I haven't heard them say anything about what we should be doing. What concrete proposals do they have? What are they going to put forward to create jobs? What are they going to put forward to reduce the deficit, other than dramatically, unrealistically, which they're already backpedaling on, cutting back spending levels to 2008, which, by the way, cuts education by 21%.
Well, it looks like they think we are on track at the end of the Bush presidency to where they want America to go.
Well, right. I mean, that's what's, you know, implicit. Somehow all the government's debt was accrued in the last 2 years is what, you know, obviously makes all of us crazy. But Michelle Bachmann, who was on with you, said what Republicans are going to bring back fiscal responsibility despite the party's participation in the tax deal that, first of all, adds hundreds of billions to the deficit with tax cuts for the rich. And now their first thing is to repeal health care, which will add, $143 billion to the deficit?
$143 billion just in the first 10 years. A trillion over the second 10.
I mean,
they're going to bring back fiscal responsibility because they were so good at it before when they were in the majority before.
Yeah, I don't see, Congresswoman, this is what makes me crazy. Is why don't they ever get called on this? How is it that money just doesn't count on the deficit? The Bush tax cuts for the rich.
Reckoning day has come, Stephanie. They're going to get called on it now.
They want to party like it's 1929.
The way we're going to be an effective minority is to make sure we hold their feet to the fire on the yardstick that Speaker Pelosi has said, and that's not a slip of the tongue. The yardstick that Speaker Pelosi has said we're going to measure them on, and that's: does their proposal, if they have any, create jobs? Does it reduce the deficit? Does it enhance the middle class?
That's right. She said it yesterday. Here she is.
House Democrats will keep our focus on the creation of jobs, putting the American people to work.
My favorite part of what she said yesterday, she said Debbie. We were like, that's our Debbie. She's going to be on the show tomorrow. She's a Debbie.
Okay. I like that part, too.
We're kind of political geeks. We're all starstruck.
We are. It's a little bit bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I get starstruck, too. Don't worry.
So, Congresswoman, I mean, I wonder.
Stephanie, we have actually not been in the same room yet.
I know. Isn't that weird?
We have never met in person. How weird is that?
And we are so close. You had me at hello. You had me at hello. I'm for Hillary Clinton. And I was like, oh, boy, she's going to kick my ass again.
I'm going to start promoting now the Stephanie Miller Show Week in Washington, where we bring the entire crew.
There you go.
Yeah.
Stephanie, what are we going to do without Larry King?
Oh, I'm devastated. Listen, my life has been a bitter, empty wasteland.
Are we going to go on Piers Morgan?
I don't know what we're doing now.
Tad Smiley.
So, Congresswoman, how long? I mean, here's what I wonder. You know, how quickly are we going to get to buyer's remorse when you look at, you know, they're going to read the Constitution. They're going to repeal health care. I mean, we were just saying John Kasich's approval rating has gone down 7 points and he hasn't even taken office yet because he killed the rail project, which would have brought, you know, untold numbers of jobs to Ohio. I mean, this is what it looks like when they govern, right?
I hope when they read the Constitution that they actually absorb it. because they certainly haven't practiced the principles in that are in the Constitution. Buyer's remorse is absolutely the right term to apply to what the voters are going to experience, because when they see what their action, what Republican actions are, just look what's looming on the debt ceiling vote.
Yeah.
And they literally are willing to potentially jeopardize the full faith and credit of the United States of America by not voting to raise the debt ceiling.
Given that they were ready to risk nuclear annihilation, I guess worldwide financial catastrophe doesn't seem that bad. But I know you're right. I mean, the things we're even talking about, even George Will said this is ridiculous. It really is something you just don't play chicken with.
No, it's really not a game, and they shouldn't treat it like one. And what the concern is that they are going to try to leverage their debt ceiling vote in exchange for even more dramatic cuts than the 08 spending cuts were that they're proposing. And you want to talk about serious harm. What the reality, I mean, Stephanie, to get the kind of cuts that they want in exchange for voting to raise the debt ceiling, they have to go after entitlements. Entitlement reform is fine, and we're going to need to do it. But their version of entitlement reform, as per the book written by their budget chairman, Paul Ryan, privatizes Social Security and turns Medicare into a voucher program.
Yep.
You want to talk about buyer's remorse.
Right.
Congresswoman, you keep fighting the good fight, because I got to tell you, I'm sure you're looking at the same polls I am. And what is it? 3-4% of the American people think, the cuts ought to come from Social Security, Medicare. They agree with us largely. I don't know exactly the numbers, but we ought to cut it by, getting rid of tax cuts for the rich. We ought to get rid of it by having health care, which reduces the deficit, and we ought to get rid of it by getting out of these wars.
Did you see the poll that showed that 61% of Americans believe that we should reduce the deficit by increasing taxes on the wealthiest Americans?
I'm saying is they agree with us, so just keep fighting the good fight. And,
I plan to.
The only answer, more Debbie Wasserman Schultz, in my opinion. All right.
Thank you,
Congresswoman.
Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Yay.
I love her the mostest.
She's awesome.
47 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
They call me Hal. They call me
Steffi.
They call me Hal. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
Get it. It's not your name. All right. Okay. We get it.
Even the name of the band is repetitive. Ting Tings. They can't just be Tings. They have to be
Ting 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 Ting
Ting Tings.
We have a winner.
52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere as we continue on Hump Days with Hal Sparks. And it should be noted that Jim Ward made Debbie Wasserman Schultz giggle twice.
Yes.
Like a schoolgirl.
That was fun.
Nancy Pelosi has just named her head of getting the
spokesperson of for the Democratic agenda in the Congress.
Thank you. Mark in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm here.
Yes.
I just wanted to make the one small point that the legislative successes of the lame duck session were made possible by a handful of Republicans, namely Snow, Collins, Brown, and a few others, that defied their party leadership and voted for cloture on these bills, which they previously voted against. To assign credit for these legislative successes, we need to find out who or what persuaded these Republicans to betray their party and vote for cloture.
I'm going to go with two things. One is the sensibility of the actual policy itself and the obviousness of it, like the START treaty, which is it's more like you're crazy to oppose something so logical. And secondarily, the fact that Obama was reaching across the aisle and genuinely working with them to make it happen, the thing he gets vilified most for.
Yeah. Well, what, was he negotiating with these people, or was he on the phone persuading them?
Both.
In order to give in order to give Obama the credit, he had to be the active agent, the causal factor that persuaded these people to change their vote from against cloture to for cloture.
Yeah, here's one of the things. One of the elements that Obama was spearheading going through was the, a lot of the extra funds in the START treaty for modernization go to Tennessee, where one of the crossover Republican votes came from.
Yeah, I mean, Hal, that's one of the things that annoys me. Even Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or whatever. People, you know, some of the I'm saying people on the left are like, oh well, that was Harry Reid. Are we just allergic to giving the president any...
Right.
I mean, like, he has not been involved in all of this all along?
It's absurd. The other thing, too, is when you give too much credit to the crossover Republicans, you forget that all the Democrats came on board to do these things.
Joe Lieberman, for God's sake.
Right.
Yeah.
That when you say we needed those two extra to make it happen, you forget that the rest of the Democrats are standing on principle and actually doing what we believe they
should
be doing.
For God's sakes, it looks like Sarah Palin hinting that she was for the overturn of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What?
Well,
did you see this story?
She was until she was told that she was against it.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, did she retract that already?
I think she did.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, well, of course she can't come right out and do the decent thing and say, yes, she's for it. She, you know what she did? She retweeted. You do that, Hal. You understand what that is.
I'm big on retweeting.
Yeah.
At Hal Sparks. You can see some of my retweets.
Sure.
And my followers will often retweet things that I've retweeted.
Sure.
Never retweet. Never surrender.
Never surrender.
Because we believe in recycling.
Yeah. Never retweet. Never surrender.
You know what? It's stupid joke day on StephanieMiller.com.
That was a good joke.
We put the picture of the orange boner up. Speaker Boehner. And the joke, Chris? Orange you the new speaker?
He was once a little orange ball of clay. Pokey.
Yeah, here's what happened. This Sarah Palin, let's see. She appeared to retweet a gay conservative radio host's comments on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Our good friend Tammy Bruce, Chris, you know.
Our good friend?
She's a Palin-friendly conservative.
What do you mean good friend?
Gay.
Ironically.
What do you mean weak,
yes.
You subby?
She said, I'm focused on economic issues. You may have noticed I was being quiet about Don't Ask, Don't Tell because that's not our most pressing issue, but this hypocrisy is just truly too much. Enough already. The more someone complains about the homos, the more we should look under their bed. So Palin relayed the comment to her and all of her followers without further explanation, and then a Palin spokesman didn't respond to a request for additional comment. Yeah. Because she can't just come right out and say and do the right thing, because that would be, yeah.
And again, that's what 70% of the public being for something, that's where they'll use it, but they'll hide from it at the same time. They'll use it because politically it's expedient. When 70% of the public is for something, they can, you know, it's like why some of the Republicans came around and voted for it was because it was politically expedient to do so.
Yeah.
Across the board, it was supported, the repeal of it. But then they can't talk about it because they still got to go raise money from religious psychopaths.
Yep. Right. By the way, one last...
Right-wing hypocrites!
Before we break for the hour. So, you know how they're the party of austerity and fiscal conservatism and Flavin. With Republican leaders anxious to set an austere tone for their ascendance into the House, there was a lavish fundraiser last night in Washington, a Republican fundraiser at a trendy Washington hotel to benefit a dozen Republican freshmen. Oh, it sounds like business as usual, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The boner apparently skipped the event at the W Hotel. A PAC and others paying $2,500 a ticket. They were treated to a performance by country music star Leanne Rimes. If incoming freshmen were hoping to bring fiscal responsibility and family values to Washington, they may have gotten off to an interesting start, wrote one conservative blogger, citing the event's steep prices. Rimes confessed extramarital affair in her recent appearance in a sexy Santa outfit at a gay men's chorus Christmas performance. Let the Tea Party fights begin with the Republican establishment.
These are people who listen to nothing but Rush Limbaugh, who had Elton John perform at his wedding.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well, and it doesn't feel good. Hey, all right, now, and it doesn't feel good. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, another busy, busy day. Ring of Fire's David Bender in Hour 1. Carl Frisch of Media
nice.
Matters in Hour 2. Representatives Robert Andrews and Frank Pallone all in Hour 3. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of deity Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller. Go to meeting. We do it here every day, the Stephanie Miller Show. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. It is, of course, Hump Days with Hal Sparks. We are video streaming on HalSparks.com.
Yes.
And you can see Hal live, which is even hotter.
It is.
At Flappers in Burbank this weekend and in Indianapolis next week.
Yeah. At Crackers. And there will be 100% more nudity than there was last year. Now, of course,
awesome.
Multiplying that since there was no nudity last year, just 100% more of it just means 100% more of the lack of it. But whatever.
And you're going to fly there and get groped like Brian Williams does, presumably.
Absolutely. Totally. I heard about it. And I got racked really hard by TSA because it was one of those situations where in an attempt not to deal with the sort of gayness of what he was doing and his discomfort. Seriously.
Was
I think,
he actually reenacting a scene from Queer as Folk? Or
I chalk
was
it up to homophobia, but he was just being so rough with it to kind of like,
look how not gay I am.
Like his hands, like they slide your hand all the way up to your crotch and then down your leg. This is how they tell it. And he went, whoa,
wham,
and just racked me up. And
like Fred, my dog, had an infrared ball detector in his right paw, as you always say.
He Fred-nosed me with the top of his hand. Boom! And I was like, ooh.
And you didn't do a palm strike to his nose?
No. Well, that was the thing. You're holding back. You're like,
literally, every time Hal would walk in my apartment in New York, Fred somehow would greet him with And you're like, why always the left one?
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, Brian Williams was on the David Letterman. He said, air travel is such a joy in this country. You get the enhanced schmageggy right there for some reason. LAX is where he gets it, too. Mm-hmm. He said they go right in, the new thing. They go after Dave and the Twins, is what he said. See, that's
Dave and the Twins?
I don't know what that meant, I guess.
Why does he name his junk after David Letterman and then tell him on his own show?
I'm not sure I want to know.
Yeah.
I think he was referring to David Letterman's, I don't know why.
Schmageggy.
Exactly. Exactly. All right.
I think he was talking about his own.
Oh, by the way, another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors. Carbonite, in this case. Karen writes, Steph, just signed up. I would not have known such a thing existed if I hadn't heard it on your show. It's especially appealing to me as I am not a techie and do not want to hassle with extra equipment and steps to back up my work. Happy New Year, Karen. Well, Happy New Year to you.
Look at that.
And your Carbonite online back.
Brilliant.
Oh, and here is a damn you, Stephanie Miller, from Mike in Austin, Texas. Steph, I wasn't going to buy it. I hear enough clips of it on your radio show anyway. I was just looking through a bunch of discount DVDs, and there it was, a double feature DVD coupled with Dave, and it was only $6. I now own a copy of The American President.
I have that.
Damn you, Stephanie Miller.
I have that one, too, Dave and The American President.
Thank you, Mike. And Rob Reiner thanks you. Okay. All right, and Tommy in Columbus. Oh, I didn't even see this news release yet. Stephanie Miller to replace Robert Gibbs. Huh. In a staff shakeup, President Obama is expected to replace current spokesperson Robert Gibbs with Stephanie Miller, age 66. What?
Who said that? Every time
he does one of these, he makes me older. Okay.
Who's this?
As a Southern California talk show host and wine drinker, Miller is known for her use of sound effects and bad 70s songs when talking about politics and is known to want a new shot on the national stage after being fired from the Stephanie Miller Show and replaced with Danny Bonaducci. President, that's true. President Obama has been a longtime fan of Ms. Miller and is said to enjoy her use of fart jokes to avoid answering questions. Ms. Miller's profuse sweating and salty language will make for some very interesting press briefings, President Obama was quoted as saying. Thank you, Tommy.
Who's that?
Tommy's one of our pals.
He's one of our amateur comedy writers in Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
A little press release.
One of our first on-the-road gigs, wasn't it? Columbus?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We still don't talk about what happened there.
He's not going to buck amateur status with writing like that anytime soon.
Oh, now, Hal's.
Relax.
Hal Louise Sparks, come on.
I'm sorry.
Wow, speaking of amateur.
But I stood at your defense. Forgive me.
Speaking of amateur comedy, how's about that the Navy video? Somebody made that point yesterday. First of all, it was just bad comedy.
Right.
But those are skits that I don't. So the Navy obviously fired the captain of the USS Enterprise. I kind of thought this was all Enterprise entertaining.
I don't understand why people get upset about these videos.
More than 3 years after he made the lewd videos.
We can't do that.
Timing that put the military
30 knots tops.
anyway, what's
timing that put the military under pressure to explain why it acted only after the videos became public. Senior military officials say they're trying to determine who among the Navy leaders knew about the videos when they were
and
shown.
And who made them public.
In 2006 and 2007. Yeah. Yes.
Go!
Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Roughhead.
Oh, God.
Really? Seriously.
That's what you do. What?
Admiral Roughhead, in charge of the Enterprise?
In charge of the seamen.
Oh, in charge of the seamen on the Enterprise.
Seamen on the Enterprise.
He first learned
that's a big job. There's a lot of seamen on the Enterprise.
He first learned of the...
more so than there should be.
He first learned of the videos after last weekend, apparently. Admiral
really?
Roughhead.
Gee.
Wow.
Yes.
Admiral Roughhead only found out that the seamen were...
Okay, let's dive into the right wing world. I think we've beat that one into the ground now.
Oh,
all right,
man.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's doing. Ed Rollins in the Situation Room on repealing health care, the Republicans' first move.
It's been issue number one. They promised it when most of the candidates that ran and got elected promised to do this. You know, it's not going to be repealed. It certainly could pass the House. I think it will. And there'll be some Democrat votes. I think the key thing here is to examine what's good and what's bad in this bill and modify some of it as you move forward. And I think to a certain extent, this is the beginning of a process, but it's living up to commitment, which is very important to the constituencies that sent these guys there.
Yeah, if we modify it according to what the American people want, we would give it a public option.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
We do. We make it more liberal.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because the majority of Americans are either for the bill or want it to be more liberal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But by modify, they mean destroy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So would be modified Hiroshima.
Yeah. Hey, let me modify your horse so that it can try and walk with three legs and no head.
Glenn Beck on the TV.
Oil companies, you better wake up and shoot straight with the American people and defend yourself because nationalized oil is not far behind. There is now so much red tape involved to comply with, it is impossible for them to do business. It's impossible for oil companies to warn you in every imaginable disaster scenario, which I believe Cass Sunstein is now having them put down in paper. Plus, most locations are still at least a year off from being reopened.
The poor oil companies, they suffered and suffered.
You know, at some point, we're going to nationalize the oil under the Anwar, you know, and that that access to that oil is going to be nationalized. That 6 months' worth of oil that we would permanently destroy that entire area to get. 6 months, kids.
Yeah.
That's right. If we got it all out by June, it would be gone.
Right.
It is kind of entertaining to listen to Republicans defend big oil and big banks.
Yeah.
Who doesn't feel sympathetic? And big insurance companies.
Oh, and no. Glenn Beck is not a... He's a constitutionalist. He's not a Republican. It doesn't matter. He's not for Republican or Democrat. He just sides with Republicans no matter what.
Yes. Rush Limbaugh on the president being socialist, communist, blah, 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 blah.
Could Obama actually be doing what he's doing, the economy, on purpose?
On purpose.
We know the guy's got a chip on his shoulder about the oil industry. We know he's got a chip on his shoulder about capitalism. We know he's got a chip on his shoulder about this country. I think more and more people starting to ask the question now is an indication that more and more people are actually considering it. It's a tough thing for a lot of people to accept that they've actually elected a president who intends harm to the U.S. economy.
You mean talking about George Bush?
Wow. No? Project much?
Yeah, exactly.
George Bush did it with hardly ever out even trying. He didn't even intend to. He was just incompetent.
We got to get rid of this surplus. Major paying too much taxes.
You never
said that.
What kind of an idiot knows that on a national scale you don't prepare for emergencies? You know, even the Iraq War itself, it's like, hey, how about we run a surplus so that if we ever come up into a situation, even if let's say the Iraq War was actually an important,
justified
action, we still had to borrow money from the Chinese to do it because he gave away the surplus, essentially.
Yes. But,
why wouldn't you prep for something? What kind of a need? All right.
Well because we needed to keep the money here at home in order to deal with things like hurricanes.
Right.
All right. Okay.
All go right. ahead and Again. Go down there to 9-11-ville. You don't need no breath things, no masks.
Republicans Air's look at America fine. Like a rental property that they yeah. don't intend on getting their security deposit back
right.
on. They don't care.
Andy exactly. sent the emergency equipment that might have helped us during Hurricane Katrina to Iraq.
Oh, wait, all right. With all the National
place.
Guard troops yes. that we could have
yes.
used.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Andrew Napolitano on healthcare.
Let's go back for a moment to Christmas Eve 2009. That's when the House of Representatives passed the Health Care Reform Act. It pointedly did not include the so-called death panels. The bill passed the House and became law without the death panels.
Mm.
Fast forward to Christmas Eve 2010, just 2.5 weeks ago, and those death panels are back.
What? Huh? What?
Yeah,
what?
The Arizona government put them, right. governor put exactly. them in on the state level.
Right.
The denying people. Wow. Yeah, the Republic denying transplants
right.
to people.
Do we have
For
even any idea
dollars.
What he's talking about?
$5 million
no.
would
have solved it.
Yeah.
$5 million and they're really just going, you know what, you need to go home and die.
Yeah.
And
that's a death panel.
Again.
And Jan Brewer, I mean, you know, I hate to judge people a book by its cover, but she is as ugly outside as she is in the inside.
Right.
Freaking gargoyle.
It just expresses
evil.
Itself oh, again.
Yeah.
It just here's the thing. How horrible is it?
Sorry.
And again, it's that Rush Limbaugh, like, he's literally projecting what and how they like to govern.
Right.
I mean, they yeah. mean for the demise of certain people. These are people who are culling the herd. The reason they want Social Security to fail is because they think, in Henry Kissinger's words, there's too many useless eaters
uh-huh.
around. And guess what? You're one of them. If you're listening to my voice right now,
Rush Limbaugh, I would yep. not be talking about useless eaters. All right. Kids, most resolutions.
Oh, he didn't see himself that way.
Although I'm sure
I'm a very useful eater, my friend.
I'm sure he's made some New Year's resolutions. 18 minutes after the hour, mm-hmm. a skosh more right-wing world as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm super bad. I got
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm super bad.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John Boner sitting in his office right now, rocking back and forth, saying, must not cry, must
yeah.
not cry. About half an hour to go before I take a gavel.
I'm not going to know now. I just got to stop.
Did you see this study? I saw this on the countdown the other night. The study, the brain study, this may explain the boner. Self-proclaimed right-wingers have a more pronounced...
amygdala.
Thank you. Yes. You knew that I wasn't going to be able to say that
yes.
correctly. Thank you. A primitive part of the brain associated
the complex.
With...
fear.
Yes.
Associated with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. However, those aligned to the left had thicker anterior... Cingulates, which is an area associated with anticipation and decision making.
Interesting.
As we've been talking about.
What do you know?
So Republican brains are more primitive.
Yes, just raw emotion. Just
R
as you
stands for reptilian.
As you often say, Jim, the American people spoke clearly when they said in the midterms.
Angry! kill!
Myself! These are the people who like that. It always reminds me of that old Richard Pryor bit about snakes will make you run into trees. People just go snake and then turn around, smack into a tree, and that's really how they legislate.
Yep.
Yes, people like O'Reilly just, you know, a little impulse control, a little trouble regulating emotion. You know, like Glenn Beck crying nightly.
It live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Thing sucks.
Bill O'Reilly talking about who is too emotional.
And in fact, viewers have emotion invested in the repeal of the federal health care takeover. It symbolizes to them all that is wrong in America. An intrusive federal government, a curtailing of individual freedom, and an assault on the free marketplace.
Sure.
Obamacare is a powerful divide between conservatives and liberals, no question.
No question. Absolutely no question.
None whatsoever.
There's no way we can question your logic.
Except for those folks showing up at those Glenn Beck paid events, and the only people who can afford them are these older folks who roll in on their rascal scooters that were paid for by Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
All right. John Stossel on O'Reilly.
Obamacare. They're going to tell us how to distribute health care.
Okay. So that's number one. Oh, the Obamacare deal, the federal government is going to tell us how
we should take care of ourselves when we get sick, or how we have to take care of ourselves.
They're going to spend $3 trillion of our money and put us in horrible debt.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's all that the whole... Okay, that concludes for everyone. Okay, it's all the nanny state, which, by the way, guess what else they're calling the nanny state? That the new food safety law.
Right.
Is, yeah,
oh,
that's
who needs
just,
food safety?
Yeah, that's, don't be babies.
It's like Russian roulette with your food.
Figure out how long the egg salad's been in the sun. What do you need, the government? Okay. This is the Representative Kingston threatening to repeal the food safety law right after they repealed health care law. Okay, President Obama, as
chicken
you know, signed...
Chicken tartare with sun-dried mayonnaise. What could possibly go wrong?
Good eating. President Obama, as you know, signed into law a food safety bill that significantly upgrades the ability of the FDA to prevent and respond to outbreaks of foodborne illness. The incoming Republican leadership...
Shut up!
Threatening to defund the bill, the implementation of which requires $1.4 billion over the next 5 years, mostly to hire new food inspectors. The bill, though, officially deficit neutral, according to the CBO, as it raises fees to offset its cost. But congressional appropriators still need to okay the FDA to spend the money. Representative Jack Kingston, Republican of Georgia, the incoming chairman of the Appropriations Subcommittee charged with the FDA budget, seems disinclined to do so. He said there's a high possibility of trimming this whole package back.
Yeah, here's
food
a good idea.
Food poisoning builds character.
Right.
Come on, man up.
Hey, how about, where's the old-fashioned Republican Party fear of terrorism crowd?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Here's the thing. Whether it was an accident or not, food inspectors will keep terrorists from being able to poison us at the
yes,
root.
Yes, there's that as well. Even without some of those high-profile food recalls last year, you remember the salmonella contaminated eggs and E. coli contaminated spinach, there is a significant public health justification for upgrading the nation's food safety system. At the moment, one out of every six Americans suffers a foodborne illness every year, 128,000 of those resulting in hospitalization. Ultimately, 3,000 people die from foodborne illness every year.
Mm-hmm. And problems with these giant factory farm things that distribute all over the country.
Right.
You could, terrorists would just have to poison one.
Yeah.
Jim, you can't expect these folks.
And the bill will actually save taxpayers money in the long run while costing them nothing in the short run. Yeah. And yet they're still, you know, for defunding.
Whatever it is, I'm against it.
Because it's nanny state. Exactly. Steve in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Stephanie, Jim.
Hello.
And how are you?
Yeah, Chris is here as well.
Not forgetting our radio guy, Chris. Hello,
absolutely.
Everybody.
Yes.
Two very quick things. Number one, the Democrats need to pitch this as a tax increase on health care. If they repeal health care, they need to pitch this as a tax increase on small businesses, which is exactly what it is, because if you provide health care for employees under 25, if your company provides health care with less than 25 employees, I believe you get a 35% health tax deduction, correct? And also, I heard this morning on Morning Joe, Howard Dean said, you know, if they do get rid of or try to get rid of at least parts of this, for instance, the mandate, that may not be necessarily a bad thing, which could, you know, maybe come back and maybe allow people to purchase insurance across state lines, provide a little bit more competition. But the mandate, which seems to drive everybody crazy who is even paying remotely any attention to this, you know, if they get rid of it, it might necessarily, in Vermont, I don't think they had a mandate, I'm not sure, but it might not be a bad thing.
Well,
maybe they'll force us to have a single payer.
I was just going to say, mandate needs a public option. Okay. I thought we were talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell there for a minute. I don't know what I was talking about. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Big ol' slut bag.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Video streaming on HowSparks.com.
It's true.
Being as it's the hump days with hell. Hey, of all the new Republican asshats coming in today, we forgot about that little twit Ben Quayle. Remember he did the campaign ad saying President Obama was the worst president in our history.
Sure. He and Daryl Issac.
And he had to borrow someone else's kids for his campaign ad.
Right.
Okay.
Some of the things are going to be tough to cut, and people are not going to be happy about it. But the problems that we have in the short and the long term are too big to deal with and too important.
Old people. Enjoy your eye sockets and
holes. He's right.
Cat
He's
food.
Right. Yeah. We're going to need to have to cut the Afghanistan war.
Yes. Yes. Sorry to see it go, but bye-bye.
As people are going to be upset taxes about on millionaires.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, somebody has to
all
sacrifice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Take care now. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye then.
Okay.
But no poor people ever gave me a job.
Yeah, no rich people's giving you a job either, unless you're in China.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Did you hear, that scallywag, Scalia? Mm-hmm.
Ah.
He said the Constitution don't protect no stinking women or gays. Boy.
Sure. It doesn't specifically enumerate that in the Constitution.
No.
Nor does it specifically enumerate protecting people of Italian descent.
Hmm.
So,
oddly. Weirdly.
Back on the boat.
Who at the same time, yeah.
The outspoken conservative who supported applying the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause to George Bush in Bush versus Gore said the 14th Amendment has no proper application in cases of gender and sexual discrimination. He appeared to be applying the doctrine of original intent to the post-Civil War Congress that crafted the amendment.
What do you know? Mm. Interestingly enough, that common defense and that general welfare,
that
means everybody.
Yeah.
He, as you know, been a dissenting voice on several of the high court's votes on social issues. Would you like the not-so-fun facts? He voted to uphold state laws restricting abortion and made no secret of his belief that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided. He was also a dissenter in Lawrence versus Texas, the case in which the Supreme Court overturned anti-sodomy laws. He argued the majority opinion, quote, has largely signed on to the so-called homosexual agenda.
Sounds like a judicial activist.
Yeah. Again, by the way, when you're holding someone underwater and they're fighting to breathe, they don't have an agenda. You do.
Yes, their agenda is to breathe.
When gay people just want to live normally in their own lives and have families and be and express themselves as they truly are, and you're trying to stop them, you're the one with the agenda. The gay agenda is not letting gays have relationships and marry and adopt.
Let's see what Admiral Roughhead thinks.
What?
Oh, it's not him. Damn it. It's Admiral John Harvey.
What is the
Harvey
Roughhead agenda?
Hmm? Okay. The Roughhead agenda.
Admiral.
I'm for it, kind of.
Really?
Admiral John Harvey on the Navy video.
After personally reviewing the videos Captain Honors created while serving as executive officer, I have lost confidence in his ability to lead effectively, to command Enterprise. He is being held accountable for the poor judgment and inappropriate actions repeatedly demonstrated in those videos.
I say send him over to the Romulans.
He's been moved to recruitment to make videos for people hand out at colleges.
People. Yeah.
Right.
I just thought it was just stupid more than anything, wasn't it? To go on tape and... I know it's just whatever.
I haven't seen it.
Frat humor, but I don't know. The one I was actually, I don't even want to talk about it, Jim, after our Michael Vick conversation the other day.
Oh, no.
The one I was wholeheartedly for, the last time they kicked someone out of the military, it was a soldier in Iraq that threw a puppy off a cliff.
Yeah, right. I saw that.
Yeah,
he
was laughing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, Senate Democrats have what they think may be a unique window of opportunity to tame the filibuster power that the Republican minority has used so effectively in recent years to foil the Democratic agenda. We've got to get your take on this, but obviously something we've been talking about for a long time here. Normally, it takes two-thirds majority to change Senate rules. One reason the filibuster system that has contributed to Senate paralysis hasn't been touched since 1975, but on the first day of the new session, a simple majority is enough to change the rules. On Wednesday, Senator Tom Udall, a Democrat of New Mexico, plans to take advantage of that. It's uncertain if he will succeed. Republicans are adamantly opposed to ceding the minority rights, and some Democrats as well, looking ahead to a mere 2 years when there's a chance that we could once again be in the minority.
Again, there's no ceding of minority rights. You just have to filibuster when you say you're going to have to filibuster, and you can't do anonymous holds.
That's what he's saying. His proposal already falls short of ending all filibusters. It will eliminate the practice of secret holds, where a single senator can anonymously block a bill or nomination from reaching the floor, and end the use of filibusters to prevent a bill from being taken up. It would also require those waging a filibuster to do the Mr. Smith goes to Washington, to stand there and actually debate the bill.
All right, sir, I guess I'll just have to speak to the people of my state from right here. And I'll tell you one thing, the wild horses aren't going to drag me off this floor until those people have heard everything I've got to say, even if it takes all winter.
Udall would also guarantee the minority the right to offer a certain amount of amendments to the bills. The plan, Udall said, will pull back the curtain on the endless obstruction and secret holds in the Senate that serve no other purpose than to score political points. So, I mean, and this is the thing people don't really, because they don't pay attention to the actual numbers.
Yeah.
The chamber took 91 votes in this last two-year session that just ended to end filibusters. That compares to 54, just about half, mm-hmm. in the 2005-06 period when Republicans were in control. During the Eisenhower years, two. There were two. Mm-hmm. Two. Once a procedure used mainly to stop civil rights legislation, it's now used regularly to block debate under any issue in the sun, according to one expert. I love this. Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, said the demise of the Senate is not because Republicans seek to filibuster. The real obstructionists have been the Democratic majority. What?
Huh? You can't. No.
Huh? Yeah.
You can't obstruct when you're actually presenting something.
Yeah.
It's just not. But it's like, why there's no defensive line when you have the ball in football. You don't have a defensive line. You have a... Yeah, right.
Okay. Thank you for that sports analogy. Yeah. We don't make them often.
I know,
on the
and I'm not a fan
show.
Of them.
Thank
but
you.
That's just stupid.
There's nothing to do now but from some fun stack. In New Mexico, where Mama just vacationed. Police in New Mexico said a naked burglar who climbed a six-foot fence and smashed a glass door told officers he was on acid.
Huh. Right,
you know what?
Shock.
Acid makes you chatty. Ray, there's no need to mention that to the police. Ray Larson was completely nude when he broke into the home at about 11 p.m. Saturday. He told officers he was hallucinating on acid and thought he was God. Apparently, that defense did not work.
I don't know that God would have to, like, commit minor larceny. You know what I mean? Like, if you
naked.
Think you're God,
I think
you would
God
just
would,
walk
would
into a
clothed.
Store and go,
right.
These are all my crackers. And you just start eating.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Why did you start eating soup out of the can? Because I was God
I'm
and I felt.
God.
Yes, right.
And I found a can opener.
God wanted Dinty Moore beef stew in little easy to open cans. So I went to where they would be and demanded them.
And I wanted to spill hot chili on my genitals.
Right.
Speaking of food crime, I don't know if the food safety bill covers this, but, you know, nothing's worth fighting over in Chicago more than Polish sausage.
What? Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Kielbasa.
A New Year's Day fight over Polish sausage led to charges of unlawful use of a weapon and domestic battery against a 24-year-old man.
Domestic battery with a sausage.
Yes.
Put that down.
Jermaine Cook.
Step away from the sausage, sir.
That's only a statute in Cook County.
Listen, I, like any other Polak, have gotten in fights over Polish sausage with my brother as well. Jermaine Cook
what?
Slapped his sister in the face because they were fighting over Polish sausage.
With his sausage?
Yeah. No, with the Polish sausage. My brother and I used to fight over Polish sausage.
Not like that.
My
okay,
mom's
then.
Polish sausage was from... delicious.
I'm not even.
Wow. Okay.
That was rife with double entendre.
Yes, right.
Well, I wasn't going there, was I? I was talking about actual Polish sausage.
Your brother's Polish sausage. Okay. Okay.
My right. mother's Polish
okay.
sausage.
Oh, sure.
Well, sure. Yeah. She made
it's
it.
Worse.
Oh.
If you want to get technical.
And we're out in Charlotte this week.
Oops.
Oops, we're out in Charlotte, North Carolina this week. Hi, Mom!
I hope you're proud of yourself.
Do not tell the story again about my mother's naked handstands. Because my mother can... Okay, and the crime stack. Firing off four-letter words cannot be charged as a crime anymore in Pennsylvania, at least when police are involved. The ACLU won one. They said using profanity towards someone, whether an officer or not, is not one of those things they can put someone in jail for. It may not be very smart. That's true.
Yeah.
That's it.
Generally, just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should.
Come and get me, pigs! Ow!
But you now have the constitutional, though stupid, right to curse the police officers in Pennsylvania. Go for it!
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Like taking acid and crashing through a window naked to get some Dinty right. Moore beef stew.
As long as you don't
swear. I'm God! I can cuss out a cop if I want to, you bleepity bleepity crap. How dare you taser God? Now God needs a change of pants.
You have made God poo his pants.
Right.
That's going to be a long time in purgatory.
I'm all powerful, but not
right.
in that area
all right.
right now.
44 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Stand up, stand up, stand up and live.
Ugh.
Really? This is the best you can do for me? It's one of the fake songs from Rockstar?
Metal boy music.
Just
for
because Zach Wilde is playing and Jeff Scott Soto is singing lead, it's not going to make up for the fact that you played. I mean, this is a sick
solo. I played
solo.
I Will Survive for Nancy Pelosi. Take it like a man. 49 minutes after the hour.
Stand up and shout! Yes. That's how I feel whenever I see the president. There you go. How do you like that, naysayers? That's right. I don't back down.
Yes, I read a delightful letter from listeners yesterday that were waiting for the cavalry, in this case, A Hump Days with Hal, after Charlie Pierce's relentless naysaying yesterday of the president.
Just never not giving any ground at all. And by the way, for all those who think all I do is applaud whatever the president does, I was not a supporter of his call to Michael Vick. And I said so very openly, and I understood where he was coming from. Here's the thing.
No, we talked about this on the show. It's just I was saying people do not know the details of how cruel he was, and
awful.
It's
my dear friend Richard Hunter one of Michael Vick's dogs, and the way that dog was treated is deplorable beyond measure. This was a bait dog. It was a female dog, just used to make the other dogs angry. They just threw it in to get it chewed on, and it was just horrible.
Oh, he threw family pets in and laughed.
The shreds, yeah.
Yeah, so...
you don't even want to hear that. We were reading an article that one of the pit bull rescue people was talking about how many of them were killed in the swimming pool by throwing, what do you call those things? What are they called? Jumper cables, Jim. Yeah. And how the sides of the pools were all clawed.
Exactly.
I don't even want to, I know.
I think they should have covered Michael Vick and Chum and thrown him in the shark tank. That's just my opinion.
You and
I'm not
Tucker
sure
Carlson
that's in the penal code, Jim, but
no.
All right. All right.
I think if he had any honor as a human being, he would have walked into one of those pits on his own and said, if I can survive being in here with these dogs, I get to operate amongst humans again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to lay down and cover myself in meat. That's just how I would do it.
Jim, I have a guess the quote for you. Who said, it helps that Stephanie's sidekicks, producer LaVoy and voice DD Jim Ward, are both friends and co-workers of long standing? Sort of. Hearing them talk every day is like listening to a liberal family back and forth, whose members are quicker on their feet and funnier than most. Yet Miller isn't interested in preaching to the choir, although she's doing pretty well among progressives. She was named one of radio's most influential women in 2010.
Look at that.
It doesn't really matter who said it, but guess who said that?
Maximilian Schell.
No!
Is it safe?
Inez Russell, who wrote a fine piece on Mama in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, Irony When Left Meets Right. Thank you, Inez.
Thanks, Inez.
Thank you, Santa Fe. Why don't you have fabulous taste in radio?
Lovely little child.
Oh, it is. So, a celebrity stag, Gwyneth Paltrow, will host SNL. She is she's really good. Did you see her Glee episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was awesome.
It's news to you she can act?
No, but it's news that she can sing the way she can.
I
want to see Country Strong. I know. Yeah. But she sang in the last episode of Glee, and she was great. She will be hosting SNL. Just saying. More importantly, on the entertainment front, Snooki has a new novel, Jim.
She had a novel before?
A new one?
A novel?
This
really?
One is called, are you ready? It's going to be better than The Sitches, I think. It's called A Sure Thing.
A sure thing.
Sure. Right.
Delisted writing. If Hemingway was locked in a tanning bed for 48 hours and then forced to write a novel on the back of a stained cocktail napkin from Karma while inhaling fumes from the house smoosh bed, it would read a lot like the excerpts from Snooki's soon-to-be Pulitzer Prize-winning book, A Sure Thing, which is, sadly for us, excerpted in the New York Post. Would you like to hear some of the...
Not really.
Well, I'm going to anyway. Here we go. Thank you. See, that classes it up, Chris.
Yeah.
Masterpiece Snooki Theater. He had an okay body, not fat at all, and naturally toned abs. She could pour a shot of tequila down his belly and slurp it out of his navel without getting splashed in the face. Yum. Johnny Hulk tasted like fresh gorilla.
Oh.
Wait, there's more. Any juice head...
No, I'm not waiting.
Any juice head will get some nut shrinkage and back knee. They fly into a roid rage, and it's roid rage. I love food.
There's a shock.
I love drinking, boys, dancing until my feet swell. I love my family, my friends, my job, my boss, and I love my body.
My feet swell.
Especially the badonk. What's a badonk?
Wow.
A butt. Badonkadonk.
Yeah.
Gia, here's the last one. Gia danced around a little, shaking her peaches for show. Oh, who hasn't done that?
Oh, Lord.
She shook it hard, too hard. In the middle of the shimmy, her stomach cramped. A fart slipped out, a loud one, and stinky. This has been another edition.
Right to the reading of that is Sean Connery. Yes. For the Comedy Radio Service. Just the other day.
Okay, that's no word.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, yeah. Birds are dying all over the planet mysteriously. Yes. Clearly a sign of the end times. Or chemical spray.
Well, Snooki's novel be, or the birds, Jim.
Or could it be HARP?
Yeah.
What's
High
that?
High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program.
Yes.
Whereby one can manipulate the electromagnetic field of the Earth to, for example, cause weather disturbances. Mm-hmm. Katrina.
Earthquakes.
Earthquakes. Unless you think this is some kind of crazy conspiracy theory, listen to what former Defense Secretary William Cohen had to say back in 1997. Others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts.
That's why I needed to interview you, brother, on my show.
Yes.
As the former governor of Minnesota.
Excuse me, I have more fluffy entertainment news to get to. Lindsay Lohan's out of rehab, everybody.
She's moving.
Careful on the freeways.
She's moving to the west side. She's going to live over near me.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
She tweeted New Year's Day, today is the first day of the rest of my life. The future depends on what we do in the present. Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, God.
Apparently, she's now...
She's Gandhi now.
She's okay. Gandhi now. She's going to live her life.
She's great. She's going to go down to Venice Beach and make salt. In clear defiance of the British government.
And thank God she made space because David Arquette is going into rehab. Is it for talking on Howard Stern too much? Or for something else, for drinking. And on New Year's Day, he went into rehab.
It's cover.
Everybody's doing it.
It's cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of breakups, Macaulay Culkin is back on the market.
Uh-oh.
Delisted writing, for those of you who have always dreamed of Macaulay Culkin doing the Home Alone slap onto your ass cheeks. No, I've never dreamed of that. He and his girlfriend or his wife has broken up. Mila who?
Mila Kunis.
Yes.
Mila Kunis.
Who's in Black Swan.
Who's in Black Swan, who we were just talking about.
There's a big lesbian scene, and that's getting a lot of play. Right.
Jim and I both simultaneously. What? Mm-hmm.
Dude just say, ballet movie. I'm not going to. Oh, there's a who? What? Oh. Hey, now.
And guess who else got married? Shania Twain finally found something that does impress her.
Don't impress me much.
Nothing impresses that woman. But apparently Swiss businessman Friedrich somebody. She married him in Puerto Rico on New Year's
You're
Day.
You're not going to try to pronounce his last name?
Theobald.
E. Gargan.
Friedrich. He's a Swiss businessman.
That's Swedish, not Swiss.
Oh, he's right, Swiss. Whatever. I beg your pardon. I thought I was Swiss. That's my mistake.
Schweitzer.
Damn that Borat. Pamela Anderson's crazed fan was arrested for trying to get at her. Ever since he kidnapped her in a bag, I'm sure all of her crazed fans are like, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
A 21-year-old lunatic tried to board her train from Liverpool to London. The Pamela lunatic put up a fight, which resulted in him getting a face full of pepper spray.
Great. Brilliant.
That's all very right. Reassuring.
Your dad's dead, Gusty.
All right, Octomom's home. Hey, Jim, it's for sale out there in the valley. If you want to, Octomom, her 14 children could avoid being evicted from their suburban home if the mortgage holder cuts a deal with a porn king. Vivid Entertainment co-founder Steve Hirsch, she, by the way, has repeatedly declined his offers, $1 million at one point, to appear in porn movies. You know, I'm not sure. I don't know how camera-ready all that business is after 14 children. I'm just saying. I don't mean to be rude.
Well.
But anyway, his company is one of the biggest porn companies in the valley.
Yes.
Which is saying a lot, because there's a lot of porn companies in the valley.
You sure that they, like, she didn't have a C-section, and they didn't all just, like, leave like a clown
like
car
puppies?
Or out of a submarine? Or like a submarine with a nuclear meltdown? They're just popping out the top. Like, run!
Paratroopers jumping out the back of a C-130. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, that's I think you know what. There's not much more to we can do after that. Hal Sparks will be at Flappers in Burbank this weekend, and Indianapolis next weekend.
It's true. Thank you.
Okay, stop it. No, I'm done. We're done with labia.
I'll be at Crackers,
that's
and you can't ruin that in Indianapolis next week.
That's it for us. Thankfully, we'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.